Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their victory.
All weekend, I've had a picture of Jesus in my mind. I've been thinking about Jesus after his resurrection, and I've had this one picture that keeps coming back over and over in my mind, and it's a beautiful picture I want to share with you. It's a picture of Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus, and he's walking with two disciples soon after his resurrection. You remember that story? In fact, the two disciples didn't even recognize Jesus. Somehow, some way, they either hadn't been spending a whole lot of time with Jesus, maybe they were maybe the way that he looked after he was raised from the dead, he wasn't recognizable to them. Or maybe Jesus was pulling an April Fool's joke on them. Yeah, maybe this was the first April Fool's Easter. And he decided to conceal himself. And he did that. I can imagine it kind of being like that, actually. I kind of imagine the playfulness of Jesus in that. I listened to a wonderful podcast from John Elders this week that someone passed along. Had a conversation with Brian Hobson last Sunday, actually, before that podcast even came out, about the playfulness of Jesus, even in this story. That he would begin to reveal to these disciples through the scriptures, he was actually preaching about himself. You realize that, right? That's kind of cheeky. It's pretty fun. And then when they got to the town, he pretended like he was, it actually says, he pretended like he was going to continue on. Which meant that he had this in mind, like he was kind of playing. And they were like, no, stay with us and have a meal with us, and broke the bread. But here's the picture that I have. I love that. I mean, I've heard that story. I love that. But what I keep being drawn to this weekend when I think about Jesus after his resurrection is Jesus having a group of keys clipped to his belt. And they're jangling along as they walk on that road. Let me read Revelation 1:17. Jesus appears to John in a vision on the island of Patmos and says, "Do not fear, I am the first and the last. I am alive. I died, but I came to life. And my life is now forever. See these keys? They're in my hand, and they open and lock death's door. They open and lock hell's gates." And he clips him on his belt, and he starts walking. Who is this man, Christ Jesus, this Son of God, this physical image of the invisible God, who can descend into hell and cause the most powerful created being, the most fierce, hateful, ruthless creature to bend the knee and hand over the keys to death and hell? This is the Jesus that we're celebrating this morning. This is the Jesus I keep seeing this weekend. Jesus, cheeky Jesus. I mean, of all the times to reveal yourself, it would be to these grieving disciples. But he doesn't. But this Jesus rose from the dead. It's this Jesus who we worship here this morning. It's this Jesus who the Apostle Paul discovered as the only true source of his fulfillment and sense of purpose in life. So much so that when he surveyed his life experiences, he surveyed his accomplishments, none of them could sustain his heart. None of them. He recognized that the only source of abundant life, love-filled life, was to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. The power that is at work within us to both will and to do the good pleasures of God the Father in our lives. It's really the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ, That's what sustains us. That's what gives us hope. That's what gives us a sense of excitement and anticipation for the future. So I want to talk about presence for a minute. Was Jesus present with the disciples on the road to Emmaus? Yes. Is Jesus ever present with you and I? We can say yes in faith, and yet there are times, just like the disciples, when we're not always aware of how near he really is. But didn't they say to each other, wasn't our hearts burning? I mean, we were ablaze inside. Our hearts were burning within us. I mean, when he was like preaching about himself on the road, did not our hearts burn? Did you feel what I felt when Jesus was preaching, when he was teaching? I mean, that's the thing. It's like they didn't recognize him with their eyes, but their hearts recognized him. Sometimes we don't recognize his presence. Like, it's not always tangible to us. We're not always acutely aware that he's here with us, that he's working, that he's walking with us, that he's encouraging our hearts, that he's speaking to us. But your hearts can be burning. I think sometimes we have that glimmer, you know? There's a season when that shimmers. His presence is near and our hearts begin to burn with this renewed sense of passion. And then there are times when our hearts are opened and we experience fellowship with Jesus as though we're eating a meal with him. You know, it's just that real. It's like seasons ebb and flow. But even then, I bet their hearts weren't burning right away. I don't know how long they walked. Maybe it was miles. Sometimes Jesus walks with us for miles before we start to like recognize, hey, something's going on in my heart. Kind of like it. If the resurrection of Jesus nurtures anything for us this morning, let it be hope. And let that hope stir your faith to expect good things to come. Romans 15:13 says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope. These three remain, right? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And the second greatest is hope. It's a thing. Like, it's a real thing. God is referred to as the God of hope. So I want to talk to us a little bit about hope. You know, it's interesting that sometimes, you know, when we start talking about hope and we start talking about the presence of God, I mean, I am acutely aware of the fact that there may be some in this room that are like, I don't feel a lot of hope. I don't really feel his presence. So I don't want to speak, you know, around that. I actually want to go ahead and address the issue of hopelessness. Now, I know it's Easter, and it's more fun to keep everything super positive around here, right? But here's the deal. I even struggled with whether or not I was going to bring up hopelessness. And yet, as I was thinking and praying about this, I realized that for me personally, that struggle to even bring it up became one of the ingredients mixed in with my perfect storm of hopelessness about 7 or 8 years ago. So I wanted to go ahead and peel it back a little bit and say, you know, even the struggle to talk about hopelessness in church, to talk about the realities that there are people who don't always experience hope, don't always experience the nearness of Jesus. I mean, I certainly don't want this to be a downer, but I want it to be an encouragement for you, right? Because remember, I'm trying to stir our hope so that our faith can arise and we can imagine a future that has some hope in it. You know, I was in this church culture. I mean, when I say church culture, I'm not talking about those guys down there. I'm talking about right here. I mean, there was a church culture that I came into when I first came here 21 years ago that was lovely in so many respects. And yet there was still this vestment of a bit of that church culture that actually became hard. It was hard. It didn't really allow for the real stuff of life to be expressed. Certainly not openly. And I'm just being honest that had its sort of way with me, because here's what it cultivated for me. Honestly, it just cultivated a fantasy that my life could be perfect. I had it in my mind that if I revealed what was really going on in my life, I would jeopardize a certain favor that I was enjoying in this broader community. Right? So I'm just being real. It's like, wow, I don't know if I can really share what's really going on, like in a way that's open and honest. It's like, what if I were to do that? What would happen? So there's this church culture where you can't really, you know, sometimes you can't really talk about that kind of stuff openly. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody here. I just see, like, you know, the books out there, you know. There is a church culture in America that props up the perfect. And if we're not, like, living up to that perfection, then we feel like there's absolutely something completely wrong with us. Like, I mean, that to me is a bait and switch. It's a lie, honestly, I think. Okay, so I had to, like, wrestle with this. And even this morning, it started to come back a little bit. Like, do I even share, like, what was really going on, like, 8 years ago? The thing was that if we accept a culture that only promotes half of the human story, then we're promoting, like, this religious culture that props up perfection and it doesn't give voice for the struggle. And so there's a lot of silent suffering going on. Yeah? If we want the culture of the kingdom, like if we want to cultivate the kingdom of God here, and the kingdom comes, you know, to what? To our humanity, to the full story, not half the story. That's the full story right there. That girl has not lost her voice. Let the struggle be known. Jesus walks the road with us even in our confusion and disillusionment and our grief. He's not withholding himself. We may not recognize him. He might even be having a little fun with this. Not because he's cruel, but because in him being who he is, he's inviting us up. You know, it's like, let your heart start burning. Let the joy start to rise. Let hope come. Those things aren't just because we can whip it up in our emotions through awesome songs. Right? Those are the real things of life that Jesus wants to address. And so whether we recognize him or not, if we listen, we'll hear the keys rattling by his side. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm hearing today. This victory, yeah? So I never actually experienced hopelessness in my entire life until about 8 years ago. I guess I was a happy kid. I guess I really had a lot of hope. I guess I really had an imagination that everything's going to be just fine. Everything's cool. And I lived in that, and I got into the culture of church that promoted that, and it was great, you know, until I actually responded to an invitation from my spiritual papa, Jack Taylor, here in this building 10 years ago. And he says, would you like to become kingdomized? Like, would you like to really be a kingdom man and not just a church man? And I said, yeah. It was loaded. So I'm not even going to blame the devil for my hopelessness. What I'm going to blame is the awesome, amazing love of God to pop my fantasy bubble. Yeah, my life isn't perfect. It wasn't like one particular event or situation. It wasn't that at all, you know? It was just like God answering my prayer. I mean, Jack actually warned me. It was loaded, but Jack warned me. And some of you have heard him say this or heard me say this because I echo him in this. Seeking first the kingdom of God is like hunting a grizzly bear. You look for all the signs and the tracks and you follow them. And you're very aware and you're very, like, alert. And then all of a sudden you realize something's breathing down the back of your neck. And it's the grizzly bear and it overtakes you. It's like you pursue the kingdom of God, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, you get swallowed up in this amazing life with Jesus that pops your fantasy bubble. And I'll reference a movie. It's one of my favorites. You know, it's like The Matrix. You remember that movie? So Neo, when he gets pulled out of this fantasy bubble, he's faced with the stark reality and the rawness of life. And it's like, that's what you asked for. You remember that? Okay, some of you don't. It's okay. Here's the deal. Whatever was happening there, my personal experience with hopelessness was fueled by my inability to navigate the fact that my life wasn't perfect. And for the first time, I came face to face with my brokenness, like for real. And the transition, what it really started to do, I could talk to you over a cup of coffee later if you really want to hear more of the story, but let me just sum it up in this, that the transition was from self-serving love with all of its hope for payoff, love with some imagination that there will be some return coming back to you. Okay, all of that, it was from that into kingdom love. It was like, and I'll be honest, I'm scratching the surface on this, right? So I'm coming into the more unconditional love of Jesus, the understanding that there's an agape love that has no hooks in it. All of these things are becoming more real to me as I get more kingdomized, as the kingdom comes over me, because everything about the kingdom emanates from the heart of the king, which is Jesus with the keys on his belt, right? And he is love. So it's one of those stories where you don't wish hopelessness on anyone, right? You don't wish it on anyone. And yet for me personally, I'm so grateful for what I've discovered in that season. I met Jesus in ways that I've never known him before. Like, my fantasy bubble wouldn't let him in, like, in who he really is for me. And who he really is for me is far greater than I could ever imagine in that world of everything's cool, everything's perfect. Let's keep this thing going. Because if it crashes and burns, my identity goes with it. Right? So then you get into this kingdom reality where it's like, no, the king, he's not only full of love, but he is the God of hope. And so everything that I was hoping would sustain me in that good sense of like, yeah, I got great purpose. Anyone identifying with anything I'm saying here, or am I just having like this personal therapy session? All right, so you get it. It's good. I've met Jesus in ways I've never known him before. His presence in my life has become more real than ever. I hear his voice differently. It's more clear to me. I experience him in my spirit man, my sanctified imagination. Some of you have watched me emerge into more of that over the years. I'm just giving you a behind the scenes look at why that was happening. It's like it came from brokenness. If we try to shield ourselves from the realities of that, then we're going to keep our address over here in the matrix. And Jesus is inviting us into real relationship. He wants to walk on our real road. And he has keys dangling from his belt. And they have the power to unlock amazing things for you and also lock very detrimental things for you. He is your Redeemer. He's our hope. And so the question then is like, how do we cooperate with this God of hope? I mean, how do we cultivate hope in our lives? And I guess I just have a few thoughts about that. Let's read Romans 15:13 again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think the first thing that's tucked in here, and we'll miss it if we're not careful, is we pray for one another. This is a man praying for people. He wrote down a prayer. So we can pray for each other that the God of hope will fill us with joy and peace, and that hope will overflow. Okay, so we can do that to cultivate hope. But I realize that some of us, when we're in a place of hopelessness, it's hard to think past that, and it's hard to imagine praying for someone else. So this is where community really comes in, because the faith of one can lift the weak faith of another, right? So we have this capacity then when someone is feeling hopeless, that we can be stirring hope without falling into those old tapes of the cheerleader who doesn't really listen to what's going on. They're just like, hope, hope, hope. So I guess the one thing that could be something that we could do to cultivate hope in our lives, we could trust in the goodness of God. And one of the ways that we can do that is we can remember ways that he has been good to us, and we can thank him for that. We may not feel him being very good to us right now. We may feel like he's hiding himself. Just let your heart start burning a little bit, because he's there. Listen for those keys rattling on his belt. He's on the move. He's working. But just begin to trust a little bit more. Say, God, I'm not feeling it, but I do trust you. Like, I trust that there is something more than what I'm experiencing right now. And that whatever I'm experiencing right now is going to lead me into a hopeful end. I don't see how it's going to turn out. I just know that your goodness is real. I know that your goodness, it's like, it's your glory. I mean, what did Moses say? Let me see your glory. And then Jesus brings him to the mountain. God, he brings him to the mountain, puts him in the cliff, and then puts his hand over him, and then lets his goodness pass before him. So the goodness of God is his glory. It's as much a part of who he is as his love. So let goodness, you know, begin to come into focus for you. Like, God is good. Can I just say that over you? God is good. God is good. The other thing that we can do to cultivate hope is we can pray that God would heighten our awareness of his presence. We can actually pray that. It's like the disciples, they prayed several prayers like, yes, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, I have this measure of faith, but I want more sort of thing. It's like, okay, so in our sense of like lack and hopelessness or whatever it is, or that sense of like, I don't know where God is. Like, God's not even, I kind of think you're here. Can you heighten my awareness of your presence? So it's okay to pray those prayers. It really is. So heighten the awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And like Paul, say that, you know what? Everything that I can look at in my life, all of my accomplishments, my experiences, all of the things that I could point to as being, you know, pretty good in my life, that actually in comparison to the presence of the Holy Spirit, they mean nothing to me. They're not going to sustain my hope. In fact, they can generate a lot of stress, because what if I lose all that? I mean, that was part of my dilemma, right? So you have this, like, honest ask, you know, can you make me more aware of your presence in my life? And then I guess just ask, and this is where prayer can help too, just ask for the eyes of your heart to be open, to see it, to see him, to see his goodness. So as we begin to like grow in this, it says, you know, may the God of hope, what does it say? It says, may the God of hope fill you. And so there may be like low level hope, right? Ankle deep. But as he fills you, and as it becomes more and more full in your life, then here's something that we can do to help cultivate it. Because you were never meant to be a dead sea, right? You were always meant to have inflow and outflow. It says, may this hope, what does it say here? It says, may it overflow in your life. May you overflow with hope. So as hope arises in you, one of the ways that we can cultivate it so that it's, you know, it's just like this flow that's happening. It's not this stagnant, like I remember once when I was hopeful. It's like this flow. It's like, so allow joy and peace to overflow into the lives of others. It's okay to be happy around people who are sad. Again, we're not trying to cultivate that fake thing. But if you have joy, if you have an excitement of what God's doing in your life, if God has shown you something, you're wanting someone to kind of step into hope. You don't have to come down. I mean, yeah, I'll stop there. Can you see Jesus holding the keys? That's where I want to go right now. That's how I want to end our time. There's a lot of hope in this. Like, Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's the first and the last. He was dead, but he rose from the dead, and he is alive. And he has the keys, not only of death, but of hell. Now, this is the thing where it's like, okay, Jesus, if you have the keys of hell, then why is there so much hellish stuff going on? You know, where's the breakthrough? Where's the overcoming? All of that. That's my plea right now. It's like, God, can you activate something in us as the church to be a representative of your presence in this community, to bring hope, to bring transformation, to bring redemption? Can you reform how we think about ourselves here so that we can be that for others? Because honestly, if you really stop and think about it, we're the ones with the keys on our belt. He says, it's good that I leave so that the Holy Spirit can come to you. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you and I commission you with the same authority that was given to me. That's a bit of a charge, but if you think about it, that's what Jesus did when he raised from the dead and he met his disciples. What did he do? One of the first things he did was he gave the Great Commission. Go. It's you now. Tag, you're it. I love all this. It's like so encouraging to me. So can you see Jesus holding the keys? And whatever assault has been coming at you from the pit of hell, let's use some keys now and shut that door. Jesus, thank you for your authority. And thank you for your blood that stands as a wall of separation between all of us and the lying schemes of the enemy of our soul. Thank you that as certain doors are closed and locked by your power and your presence, there are new doors that are opening. These doors have a lot of hope in them. They bring us into new places with you, and we discover you more, fully. So thank you that glory to glory, wave upon wave of your presence comes to us, and we want to thank you for that. I want to empower you to exercise your authority now. If the Lord has brought something to mind where you feel like there is an access point of the enemy who's been having its hellish way with you, then I want you to stand against that and resist it now in Jesus' name. And I want you to exercise the use of those keys and say, I close the access point of the enemy in my life in this area in Jesus' name. I renounce my agreement with lies that are associated with that in Jesus' name. And now, exercise your authority and ask the Lord to help you open doors of new possibilities, new hopes, new encouragements, newness of vision and purpose, newness of just anticipation for your future. The whole you on that road. And so, Lord, thank you for walking with us. Thank you for your presence now. And we thank you for the resurrection life that you offer to us. Help us become more acutely aware of the power that raised you from the dead. Heighten our awareness of your presence, Holy Spirit. Begin to speak to us in new ways. Show us things. Reveal to us the truth from your word. Thank you so much. This is the Jesus whom we love. This is the Jesus whom we celebrate.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.